Blog Talk Radio.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Lord, give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. 'Cause it's me.
Amen, amen. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I'm back. Thank you to all those who were listening earlier with Brother Daniel Rogers as he taught about the Elijah message. Welcome to 7 o'clock open line discussion. I am Brother Manny, and on Monday nights, we like to open up the phone lines for callers who have questions, prayer requests, comments about the topic we have on the night, for you to voice your opinion and add to the discussion. The number to do that is 323-870-3403. The number again is 323-870-3403. We also have a social media page on Facebook. That's God's Word to Man on Facebook. If you kindly go over, if you are on social media, go over to God's Word to Man on Facebook, like and follow our page, because that's where we upload a lot of content, whether it be videos, encouraging, uplifting posts, or just information to keep you abreast of what's going on. Again, that's God's Word to Man. We also have an email if you'd like to email us your question, your comment, or your prayer request. You can do so at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. And we will get your email there and respond as quickly as we can, okay? Tonight's topic is sort of something that we've discussed in the past. In fact, the Brother Nate, he is doing a deep dive study, a lesson on the Masonic Order of the Freemason. I personally want to discuss outside organizations in general, just on a broader sense, including organizations, you know, whether it be like the Elks or the New Black Panther Party, the Masons, the Shriners, Eastern Stars, whatever the organization is, you have a lot of Christian born-again believers who are joined to these organizations as members, and they are, you know, born-again believers. They believe in Jesus Christ, believe Christ died for their sins, they're saved, baptized, and claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Yet they have an alignment or membership with these organizations. And so my question I'm posing today is basically coming from the sense of, you know, how social really should Christians be? How social should Christians really be as far as these organizations are concerned? And even just becoming and including yourself in parts and events, whether it be, you know, groups from your job or, you know, groups from outside the church, whatever they may be. I know there's a scripture that I'm going to read in 1 John that I'm going to use as sort of like my opening scripture. Tonight is open dialogue night on God's Word to Man. We're going to have one or hopefully a few of the brothers come on and give insight into this topic. They are ordained elders, and we have one already joining us, Reverend Joseph Z. Murphy. Reverend Murphy, how you doing today?
I'm blessed, my brother. How are you?
And feeling pretty good, feeling pretty good. We're going to have a nice short conversation tonight. I don't want to hold you guys too long tonight, but I wanted to touch on something that has been kind of, I've been thinking about it a lot and really talking about, you know, us as born-again believers, our associations outside of the church, and how they affect or impact our ability to serve God or our walk with the Lord. And I named a few things, and I know the title says that we're going to be talking about Masons, but it's just not Masons that, you know, I really want to reference. I'm talking about all types of groups, you know, that people join themselves to, memberships, what have you, outside the church. And I kind of want to get a sense of or answer the question, how social should we really be outside the church, especially considering, you know, these times and days we're living in. And so if you don't mind, Rev, like if you'd open us up in a quick prayer, and then I'll go ahead and read that scripture I was talking about.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before your throne of grace, and God, we thank you for yet another opportunity to see what you say about this topic, Heavenly Father, because when it's all said and done, God, your word supersedes any natural worldly wisdom. And so, God, we pray, as always, that your Holy Spirit will be in the midst of this conversation, that it will lead it and drive it, God, that you will prepare hearts and minds, that they'll be receptive, God, to your answers for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm reading in 1 John 2nd chapter. I want to read the 15th verse. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. I'm going to read that again. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so when we talk about these organizations and some of these social gatherings, and you know, you have a lot of groups. Like you may align yourself with, a bowling team. We can make it very gradually and go even further down. Maybe not so much like the Masons and the Elks and this and that, but just something as simple as joining yourself to maybe a bowling league or, you know, how social really should we be as born-again believers and as far as things outside of the church? I'm not talking about, you know, meeting up with the brothers and sisters in the church. I mean, people outside of the church, you know. So I guess that's the opening question, Rev.
Well, I would say that God doesn't have a problem with us being social. But I would also caution us to define what is social really, what does that look like? Is God saying that he only wants us to travel in circles with other Christians? You mentioned a bowling team. Is God saying that if it's not a Christian bowling league, if we don't have Christian bowling members, is God saying that then we should not participate? And I would say that God is not saying that. I would say that, number one, just based off the scripture you just cited, what God is cautioning us to do is to not love a thing or be so taken by a thing that it consumes us to the point that it leads us into idolatry. I made a post this morning, and I tweeted out a post that said that some of us are more loyal to our job, our spouse, our children, our pastor, our friends than we are to God. And when you become more loyal to these other things, you do walk, or there's potential for walking in idolatry. God is a jealous God, and he would not have us put anything before him. And so when we start talking about a social club, I would say this to the Christian. Number one, what is the club in and of itself? Because, you know, what are some core beliefs for the club that you're involved in? When I was in high school, not trying to be funny, I was part of the chess club. Well, I don't think there was anything inherently wrong with being on the chess club in high school, no more than I would think it would be something wrong being part of a team bowling. But now, when, be it the chess club, the bowling team, or whatever social club it may be, if it begins to have an effect on me, an impact on me, and I'm not showing godly character, then I have to question, why am I a part of it? And so, to me, that's the greater or deeper question. What is this club all about? And why do I want to be a part of this club? And, you know, why do I want to hang out with these people in this group? Is now, you know, and somebody will come back and say, well, we shouldn't do anything that doesn't give God glory. Well, to me, we have to be careful with getting to the point where every single thing, I got to make sure I brush my teeth in a way that gives God. No, God's not really saying that. What he is saying is we should be making sure that since we are heaven's ambassadors here on earth, that we are reflecting God in everything we do. And when it comes to a point where God is not being reflected, be it in a social club or whatever, then that's not something we need to be a part in. I find it interesting, if I can add this piece in as well, that some Christians, we are eager to join these other organizations, but you don't often see these organizations often eager to be a part of Christianity. And if that is ever the case, I would dare say that that's not an organization a Christian should be part of.
Amen. Amen. That's one of the main things. I wanted to start there with the social groups and the social outings and the different events, because a lot of these organizations, like the Masons and the Elks and the Shriners and all these other, like the new Black Panther Party, and then you get the Black Lives Matters, and then you have a lot of individuals who, in solidarity, have decided, okay, we do so much for the community, you know, we're doing a lot for our people, you know, we're helping raise money for this, and we're sending these number of people to college, and we do all this great stuff, yet there's like this stigma associated with some of these organizations that, you know, there's something demonic associated with it. And a lot of the church folk, they get, you know, slack for or flack or whatever you call it. Or they get kind of, you know, reprimanded for being a part of these organizations that say that they do a lot of good work, you know. But instead, you have preachers who preach against the Masons, who preach against the Eastern Stars, and preach against the Elks and all these different types of organizations, the Black Lives Matter movement. They talk pro black and everything, and they're all about empowerment of black people. But you know, Christians shouldn't be a part of it, and so that's why I'm trying to shed light on the stigma behind these organizations, and should Christians even concern themselves with these outside organizations, or shouldn't they?
But I guess my statement would be, we can't group all of these entities together, because some of these entities are actually just socially conscious groups who don't have any kind of religious agenda, and they're definitely not demonic in nature. And so to me, there's nothing wrong with a group of individuals getting together and saying, hey, we have this same like-minded cause, and it's a positive cause, not even just for ourselves, but it's positive for our community. I don't see anything wrong with a Christian supporting or being a part of that, unless they're more in support of that than they are their own relationship with God. And that's all I'm saying. Now, when we step off into other organizations that are clearly defined or clearly involved in demonic rituals, then we have to take a stance and say, hey, this is inherently wrong, and here are the reasons why they're wrong, and no Christian should be counted among being a part of such an organization. When I was coming up in ministry in the late, in the early 90s, I knew a decent amount of pastors and deacons who were part of the Masons, and I knew a decent part of their wives who were Eastern Stars. And I talked to enough Masons and Eastern Stars, and I've read up on it, to know that there's demonic ritualistic things that take place within that organization. When before I really knew anything about it back in the mid-80s, I want to say maybe 86, 87, I didn't really know anything about it, and I belonged to a church who actually, the pastor, and again, I wasn't really aware of these things, but the pastor, come to find out, was a Mason, and he had a fellowship with a lodge, and we actually went there one day, and it wasn't until I was actually there that I really sensed the demonic presence like I've never felt, other than one other place, and that's when I went to Mexico City, Mexico. And so to me, we have to separate these things and say, okay, this is an organization that's, you know, perpetuating social consciousness. There's nothing demonic about it. There's nothing demonic within their rituals. If they even have any rituals, they're just saying, hey, let's be socially conscious as a race. And I don't think anything's really wrong with a Christian being a part of something like that. But when we start talking about reenactments of the original founders of an organization that includes sinful and or demonic acts, then those things are not something Christians should be a part of.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely a conversation that a lot of people really try not to have. You know, some people don't even bring it up in their church because they don't want to offend anyone. But you do get the argument that these individuals do a lot of great things for the community and for their people in general. Sending people to school, as I said, doing work in their community, building up their community and stuff like that. One other question I wanted to ask, and then I'm going to give you the opportunity to just say a few words to the people in general, anything you want to let them know. Like I said, this is going to be really a short broadcast because I hadn't gotten any of the other brothers to sort of chime in. One other question I wanted to ask is that as far as the church organization is concerned as a whole, oftentimes we get the ministers who preach against the different associations outside of the church in general. And how friendly people should be, you know, what they should concern themselves with as far as different events and different things like that. I just kind of had a question on, you know, in this day and time, in these last days, like, should we really be mainly focusing on, you know, things like we talked about earlier, if it brings God's glory or if it's a part of God's work for your life, or how should we really be living life? I mean, in light of all the stuff that's happening, like, for instance, this hurricane that's happening, that's sweeping through the nation, you know, should the people of God really be praying and instead of concentrating on what is the next place they're going to go out to or these, or like I said, these different social events and stuff like that? Or should we really be concentrating on, like, the destruction and the tragic nature of a lot of these shootings and stuff like that? Should we really be interceding? Shouldn't we really be like before the Lord constantly, you know, and not preoccupying our time with other things that really, you know, some may deem don't matter, like these social events and these outings and these things like that? Before I let you answer that, Rev, I'm going to bring on Brother Nate. God bless you, Brother Nate. How are you?
I'm blessed. How your brother's doing?
How you doing, Brother Nate? God bless you.
God bless you,
feeling
brother.
Feeling pretty good. Brother Nate, just to kind of bring you up to speed, I know that the title says, you know, about Freemasonry, but I really want to just overall have a conversation about what Christians should be doing and should not be doing, what could be hindering or impacting their walk with the Lord, these type of groups, these social organizations a lot of people are a part of, and then just socially in general, people do a lot outside the church, not necessarily with other church members, but they do a lot outside the church. And so my question I just posed was, should it be more concentrated on the things that's going on in the world and really starting to really sanctify and refocus our intentions on everything godly, or is there still room for some of this social stuff that's going on? Rev, I'm going to go ahead and go to you and then come back to Brother Nate.
So this is how I see it. I don't think that there has to be a choice whether we're doing one or the other. I think that an effective servant of God will have the ability to do all of the above. And so the church should be socially relevant, And that's on all levels. And so should we be interceding for those who are in the wake of the hurricane, of Hurricane Dorian? We absolutely should be. We should be praying about the Bahamas, where the storm has stalled out for the last 30 or so hours and is anticipated to still be there another 24 hours. So, yes, we should be praying for them. Should we be praying for the people in Odessa, Texas? We absolutely should be praying for them. So it's not like the church has to make a choice of topics that we should or should not be talking about, because we actually should be actively engaged in making sure that God is being infused in every situation, whether it's prayer, whether we're raising funds to take care of these things. And just real quick before I forget, you made the statement about these other organizations, even if some of them are, maybe demonic or whatever in nature, they do some good things. Well, those good things they do are appreciated, and God uses them to do those good things, as much as he says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. It'd be the same thing as me as a pastor or preacher preaching everybody into heaven and giving them the word week after week, and I'm not living the word, I'm not living a life before God. So there's nothing wrong with what's being done, and it's giving God glory, but that person who's not living it or doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're going to be dealt with. So I don't think that we look at an organization and say, well, they're doing good, and we know that the Masons and the Eastern Stars and like the Elks and the Shriners, these are all benevolent organizations. In particular, the Masons and the Eastern Stars, and some level of the Shriners as well, we still know that, again, they're demonic in nature. And so we don't excuse that. Christians shouldn't be a part of it. And when it's all said and done, a true Christian should be able to have the ability to speak on all fronts that where God is being questioned, brought into question, and be able to articulate that God is supposed to be supreme in every situation. He's supposed to be first and foremost in our lives. And so I should not be dedicated to anything more than I'm dedicated to serving God and being in relationship with God. And so that's kind of how I see it, that, again, the church should be able to do it all. We should be able to speak to the hurricane, speak to the end times, speak to the tragedies with all these mass shootings, speak to political matters, and in a way that we show humility but brings glory, praise, and honor to God.
Amen. Amen. Brother Nate, basically the topic came about, as I said, is that, the argument is, hey, these organizations that a lot of church people are a part of on the outside of the church are well-meaning organizations that do a lot for the community. They go out, they have fun, they have different social act. It's just a social club. It's just a social. And this show social activity is no different than you going out with maybe a group of your work friends that you always go out with and you always spend time with. And there are a lot of good, well-meaning individuals in the church, born again, supposedly baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, who are part of these organizations, and they really look at them as social gatherings and social activities. They don't really look at it as something demonic. And so my question is, at what point does these social gatherings and these activities and these clubs and these organizations, do they interfere with your walk with Christ or with your ability to serve the Lord?
This is my take on it. The moment that you become connected to them, some things are a mask. We deal with an enemy that's Satan. And many times when Satan wants to get you, he's not going to come straight up at you. He will come with some deceiving stuff. He even come with some things to make you think that he's doing good. For example, psychics. And you've heard the story before. When I called that psychic, and what did the psychics propose themselves to do? Give you an answer to what you asked for, right? And so it appears to be good.
but at the same time, they're putting a curse on you. So some things are a mask. Now, as far as I see, I think one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest problems going on with us as believers in the church, and I agree with my brother here, what he just spoken, that God should be the supreme number one upfront thing, is that the problem is people don't search nothing out.
Amen.
They think
that's real.
They think just because they see something up front proposing itself to do good to people, it's automatically of God and it's from God. But once again, Satan's nature is what? Deceptive. That's one of his natures. He's a deceiver. Okay? If he wants to get you into something, like I said a lot of times, he's not coming straight up to reveal himself to you. Whatever your heart is in, for example, if your heart is in money, there are sometimes he will cause people to come to you and say, I can give you this job, but it require more hours and have you working so many hours that you have no time for God. So when you're dealing with these organizations like this, the problem that what, and I'm going to say the born-again believer, the church folks, because I look at that this way. The people that's supposed to have the Spirit of God, okay, they don't search nothing out. Everything that sounds good to their ears. See, one thing about these organizations, what are they going to present to you up front? The good. They're going to tell you all that's good come from. Just like, for example, let's talk about, give you an example, the Masons. I guarantee you that some of the stuff I can tell some of the Masons, one of the things they'll say to me is that, that ain't true. They never told me that. I've never seen that. And I tell them, say, I know why you had never seen it and it never been told. I said, because I can tell what level you on. Because one of your big leaders, Albert Pike, said that they purposely give you false interpretation, false information. Why? Because you have not proved yourself worthy to receive the truth. So they falsify information to the lower level Masons. Okay? It's the higher level ones that come to really understand what the Masonic order is all about. Okay? So to my point on that, I say this. I think that one of the things that we're missing out on is that, and don't get me wrong, some social things, you know, I don't see nothing wrong, but what my problem is we got too over that way and put more less of God out. Because when it comes to get together with God, we got all these excuses. I want to do it, but I'm tired. I want to do it, but this happened. Okay, but you fail to understand that's your lifeline. And if you cut off your lifeline, what you got left? And so now you have in America with these mass shootings. When these mass shootings, what's the first thing people start hollering out? Gun control. Okay, don't get me wrong. Some laws you can pass can do some good to some areas, but all together, they're talking about the mental problem. Everybody that's getting these guns is not showing up with mental instability. It's what they're doing after they get the gun. You don't know what's on a person's mind unless the Holy Ghost reveals.
Amen.
So you can have the average guy, some of these guys that did shooting, some of these people that did shooting, listen to what their neighbors said about him. First of all, they said, hey, he was a respectable kid. He was quiet and all that. They never thought that the same person is going to go into a place and shoot up people. And see, you have to have that discernment that comes from the Lord, because our problem is we're doing too much, quote, protecting ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against somebody having some protection for themselves, but our problem is we're doing too much protecting ourselves and leaving Jesus out. Because I don't care how many guns you have, you can't shoot in 5-6 directions at one time, okay, when they all coming at you, okay? Jesus Christ has to be the ultimate protector. If you don't let him be the ultimate protector in your life, then you're going down. So that's what I see in that incident with that. And people, you know, they make light of these things. They say, well, it's just a club and it's just a social thing to get together. Yeah, right. I said, but when you go really search out what you join, what if you find out that the same thing you join said Jesus is the devil? Now, you being a Christian, do you believe it or not? Okay. If you say you're a Christian, you believe Jesus is Lord, but you went and joined something that says Jesus is the devil, okay, so what do you say now? So, That's the thing about it. Lack of wisdom, lack of searching, and just getting into anything that, you know, people, that sounds good to people.
Amen. And a lot of times we join. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ralph. Go ahead.
And a lot of times, and I only know us, so I can only talk about us. We join things because our brothers join it, or our cousins,
mm-hmm.
or some friends.
Right.
And then the other thing is, we're looking for what we can get out of it. This is going to set
yeah.
me up with some great networking, and I'll be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, it is great networking. Being in a fraternity or sorority is excellent networking. All of that is true. But the question is, at its core, in particular the Masons and the Eastern Stars, at its core, what are
right.
their core beliefs? And you know, I've talked to a couple of different guys who were a part of the Masons, and I've heard a couple of different stories, all the way from some demonic rituals to when you become a 33rd degree Mason trying to go over, you have to deny Jesus Christ. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories from people who were Masons, and even one gentleman who used to be a part of, I don't know if it was a woman came out of fellowship. Her name was Reverend York, and she was basically famous for going down to the Cook County Jail. She had, really high-profile jail ministry with Cook County Jail. And I was down there helping out one day, and one of the men that went to a church, he said, when I got serious with God, this is what he said, when I got serious with God, he said, I had to remove myself out of the Masonic order.
Right.
Because it was just too much stuff going on, what do you call those things when they go to the hotel? From conferences where married men were fooling around with the Eastern Stars,
right.
even though they weren't their wives. And don't get me
right.
wrong, it's potential for wrong to be in everything, especially even in church. But what I'm saying is, we have to be careful. As my brother said, that's why I love Brother Nate, because we'll jump into something and we won't read a lick of nothing. And we'll just believe what this person is saying. Oh, okay. And then before you know it, you got yourself into a trick bag situation and don't even know how you're going to get out of it. And that's I tell people all this all the time, even concerning Christianity. You don't have to take my word about nothing. Research it for yourself. Don't just join something and you don't know anything about it and just let people tell you anything. Research it for yourself. There's a certain amount of material out there on the internet about the Masonic Order and the Eastern Stars.
Right.
They're not even trying to hide it.
Yeah.
But for some of us, we are so thirsty to be a part of a brotherhood or sisterhood or something, to say we're a part of something, so we'll look past, what some situations may be that we might not want to be in. And I'll say this too. Listen, even in Christian church, every good idea is not a God idea. So just because people are doing something good
right.
don't mean it's God directed. It doesn't mean that it's God directed. And we got to be careful. We got to be careful.
Amen. Amen. I totally agree with the both of you, but I always like to, I would say look at things from all sides, and some of the argument is that from some of these people in the church is that I'm a part of this organization and I've been a part of it, I've developed and maintain some great friendships and family ships, if you want to call them that, people in your family you're very close to from some of these organizations. It's no different than, if you're born again, it's no different than you going out with a set of work coworkers to a sports bar where people are doing a bunch of drinking and hooping and hollering, or it's no different than that. So as we get ready to try to close this out, what do you say to some of them who maybe
have these relationships and say, hey, no, I haven't renounced anything and I still believe in Jesus, but a lot of these people are my friends and we go out and we do a lot of great work doing, we do a lot of good work in a lot of areas in our community and among our family. And, you know, why should I have to turn away from that if I haven't denied Jesus or if I haven't, you know, if I still do the work for the Lord, you know, why should I have to give that up also, you know, if I'm doing good work all around? And you say to that, Brother Nate?
I say two things to that. Number one, Jesus said, he that hateth not wife, mother, brother, sister. Now, the word hateth in the Greek means love less. So my question to them is, who do you love more?
The thing is
like this, you know, and I understand what you're saying, brother, because I hear people say that. Many times people say that they make an excuse not to search. And plus, other times they say that, then really the people is to them more than Christ. That's the bottom line on that. And also, too, they must understand what you join yourself to. Remember what Jesus said in Revelation. What did he tell his people? Come out of her, that you be a partaker of her sins and receive of her plagues. So what you join yourself to, that's what you are part of. So you can say, well, I haven't denied Christ many times you want to. But your action shows that you have joined to that which is ungodly. So that's the reason why you repent. You know, and I hear people say things like that. And, you know, many times I don't even engage in a long conversation with them because I know where their mindset at now. And many times what they don't understand is that when you join to ungodly things, it opens up a door for curses. So when stuff's not hitting you, we're going to see how long you're going to keep, you know, holding on to that statement, you know, that you've been saying. Because Jesus said that the ungodly thing will receive plagues. And these organizations, to be honest with you, and I don't mean to say this to be mean, I have to be honest, they're going to be hit with plagues, ungodly, because they are teaching against Christ. The Masonic Order tells you this. They tell you works get you to heaven. You don't have to accept the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, if you got somebody that is professing that, oh, I have not denied the Lord, okay, and let's say you come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's say you get the high-level Mason, and you find out, because you're going to find out, that this is what they teach about salvation. They said you don't have to receive the grace of Jesus. It's works that get you in heaven alone. So what you going to do? Say that, well, my family's in this, I'm going to stay in this, and keep saying, I haven't denied Christ. Well, in a sense, yes, you have. Okay, so yes, you have. Because especially when you have come to the knowledge of truth, and you still won't renounce and come out of it. That's even worse. So I hear people, you know, people think sometimes just their statements and what they say will carry them, but you got to understand you also have to look at your actions.
Amen.
Amen. Rev?
Listen, you know, I think me and Nate must be brothers with another mother or something because, you know, I could just say ditto and leave it alone, but I'm not. But, you know, listen, ask yourself this question. Are you more likely to convince them or are they more likely to convince you?
Right.
And so when we start talking about I'm part of this organization, but I'm not, listen, the Antichrist has not been revealed.
Right.
Yet. But the spirit of Antichrist is in the world right now.
Amen.
And there is Antichrist behavior going on every day. And it's going on in a lot of churches. And it's going on in a lot of homes. And people are doing things that are Antichrist. And so you can say all you want that you're not denying him, but your behavior tells another story. Listen, you can say all you want, we're giving away scholarships, and that's fine. And again, God is okay with using the wicked to bless the righteous. He's okay with that. He's okay with you giving away scholarships. In fact, you're doing them unbeknownst to you because God is directing you to do it. But this is where the Christian has to be careful. The Word of God says, and I was trying to look it up, but because I have Sprint, I can't be on the phone and go on the internet at the same time. But the scripture says, let not your good be spoken evil of.
Right.
And so to the point that my coworkers may want to go out, and we may be cool at work, but there's some places I'm not going with my coworkers.
Right.
Now, we can get into this whole thing about the Bible says, it's, you know, it's okay to drink but not get drunk, and I believe that. I believe that about the scripture. I mean, I don't drink, but that's I don't knock somebody who may want to have wine with their dinner or whatever. The Bible clearly says don't get drunk. It clearly says that. There's no argument there. But when we're in a setting that may bring dishonor to God, even though I might have good intentions, and even though I may not partake of any of the foolishness, Christians, especially in this end time, and this goes back to Nate's point too, about being discerning, that just some places, good intentions or not good intentions, the people of God don't need to be.
Right.
And so we can be upset about that. We can say, hey, that's taking it too far. But when it's all said and done, when the devil shows up to do whatever it is he came there to do, the devil's not going to say, attention all Christians, please leave before I wreak havoc. In fact, he's going to be glad you're there so you can get caught up in the fray.
Right.
And so we can't start, thank you, Holy Spirit, we can't start rationalizing what is good and what's not good, what's bad, because it's not just about that. You can have all the right intentions in the world and be in the wrong place.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you two brothers for helping to provide insight on that. I know that there's a lot of things going on. We talked about the hurricane, and early on my earlier broadcast, with Brother Daniel, we reached out to those who are affected and are going to be affected, and just let them know that our prayers are with them. And
amen.
You know, we hope and we pray that God's mercy prevail in these situations, and that, you know, the devil doesn't have his way with mass casualties.
Amen.
But
yes,
there's this notion that maybe born again believers just aren't doing enough, and they're spending their time, you know, doing things and being a part of things on the outside of the church, in the social groups and social settings, and just being a part of things that are in the world. And I know we talk about the different organizations, and, you know, I couldn't really think of too many, but I know that there was, you know, like the new Black Panther Party and the Black Lives Matter and all of these types of organizations that people are a part of and they're putting a lot of their energy into. And I kind of just do like Masons in there and Elks in there and whatever organizations that do great things in the community and their close-knit group, but still claim to be born-again believers. And with all this stuff going on in the world, it's like, how can we have time to do that and still do the work of the Lord? Or can we? And so I just kind of wanted to pose that question. You know, I know that there are a lot of church people who don't believe in, joining the Masons and being a Mason or Eastern Star or whatever, but there's still a lot of other organizations and activities out there that claim to be doing some of the same things. And I don't know what they believe and what they don't believe, but I do know that a lot of them consider themselves Christians and born-again believers. And so just kind of feel like, what should be the pulse of the church right now with all this stuff going on, you know? And I appreciate you guys joining me, and I want to give each of you a final word. Anything you want to add, anything you want to tell the people, anything you got coming up. Rev?
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure to be on the line with you, Brother Manny, you, Brother Nate, my brother from another mother.
Amen.
I do think the church needs to have a sense of urgency. I don't think the church needs to be. I don't think we need to confuse that though with panic. And I'm not saying that that's what you're saying, but we do need to have a sense of urgency, and we need to prioritize what's going on. You know, these tragedies that are going on in the world today. We need to be praying that God has mercy. But if we're going to pray and ask God to stop some of this stuff, then we're going to be praying amiss. And that's because these things have to happen. The Bible talks about it. If we want to do something, what we need to do is pray that there's a revival that leads people back to studying their word so they know the day and time that we're living in, because God said he would not have us to be ignorant concerning these times. So the people of God need to get back in their word. So to a certain degree, you're right, Brother Manny, we need to spend less time with some of this other stuff that has nothing to do with directly with God and where he's trying to take us and keep us, what he's trying to keep us from. So we need to prioritize our time in that manner. And then if there's some time left to do that other stuff, then we should do that. But we got to make God in the forefront, because it could be the difference between you leaving your home and coming back home or not coming back home. And so we really must put ourselves in a position. Again, as Brother Nate said, we gotta study. We gotta not only study the Word of God. If you're gonna join something, don't just jump into it. Don't just do it because your buddy doing it, your friend, your family. Research so you know what's going on. And before you even research, ask God. God, is this something you want me to be involved in? And that even goes for a church you're considering joining. Ask God. God, should I be here? Is this where you want me to be? That's my take on that. I thank and praise God. I'm officially here now in Memphis. My family will be coming to join me in a couple of months. So please keep me and my family in your prayers concerning those things.
Amen.
We'll be restarting the ministry this Saturday at 10 o'clock. We'll be having service at 10 o'clock, like I said, here in Memphis. It's called The Caring Church. You can find us on the Caring Church Facebook page. We're also on Twitter at Caring Church. And God is just doing some wonderful and magnificent things. Of course, starting 9/11, I'll be back on Word Wednesday, but it'll be kind of a different form. So we thank and praise God for that. Last but not least, I have a book on AmazonBooks.com called Defeating the Enemy Strategy for Healthy and Successful Marriage. It is $9.99. It is a quick read, but it will be a blessing to your marriage. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak. As always, I love you, Brother Manny. I love you, Brother Nate.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Rev. I appreciate you. Love you, man.
Yeah, love
Brother
you,
Nate. I just want to say, well, tomorrow night, you know, Sunday I started the series about masonry last night, and I'm continuing on tomorrow night. It's going to be masonry. It's not Christian, the beginning. That's what I'll be doing, Lord say the same, tomorrow night. I want to say unto the people that are listening tonight, hey, you know what? When the Lord says study to show thyself approved, he just wasn't talking to just the ministers.
Amen.
He's talking to every believer. And the problem is that too many of us, now, don't get me wrong, respect your pastor, but too many of us has become dependent on the pastor totally.
Amen.
To the point that if it's something that we don't want to deal with and he tells us, we accept it. But if it's something we really want to do and he tells us that's not of God, we get mad. and notice that neither one of them, I said, they search up for themselves. Neither one, I said, they search up. They won't search up when they don't want to deal with something. He said it's not of God, they accept it. But if it's something they really want to do, he tells you, that's not of God, they get mad at him. Because the whole thing in a nutshell, as my brother said, prioritize, no priority.
Sure.
Jesus is supposed to be number one. He's supposed
Amen.
To be number
one.
To the believer. I mean, not just you saying it, he's supposed to really be it. But if you put him on the back burner, which that's what many of us have done, we have put him on the back burner. And I say to those who are listening, listen, you know, what Jesus says stands.
And one thing about it, he's not going to change his mind by telling you to study to show thyself approved. So either you take the time to get it or you go down. I mean, that's the only two things I can give you, okay, because we're living in the time right now that you got to have the discernment of the Lord even by you leaving your house, okay? Even if you're going to a store, you got to cover yourself in the blood. You got to be in tune with the Spirit to know that when you're about to step in a place and it looks like nothing is going wrong, you can listen to the Holy Ghost say, don't go there. You have to be in that place, okay? But you can't be in that place when you're ripping and running and putting everything else in front of Jesus. And so now you have, like I said, brother, some people, when you talk to them about these organizations and tell them they're not of God, they get upset. Most of those people that get upset is the same ones that hadn't even searched it out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Manny?
Yes. Yes, sir.
I just want to say this. I just want to say something I heard this morning because it blessed my spirit. Joel Osteen said, too many of us are settling for a C when God is trying to give us an A.
Amen.
And he illustrated it by saying there was a professor who said to the class, he said, listen, how many of you want to forfeit taking this test? And I'll give you a C. I'll give you an automatic C. He said, slowly but surely, people raised their hands to over half the class, said, we'll take the C, and we don't want to take the test. And after over half the class walked out, he put the test on the remaining student's desk. He had it, had him turned over. And he said, listen, I want to thank you guys for staying. And you guys are going to take this test. I really appreciate you wanting and desire to want more. He said, now flip your test over. And it was two sentences on the test. And basically what the two sentences said was, congratulations, to you guys for staying. You have received an A for this class.
Amen.
And so when it's all said and done, sometimes we're too eager just to take what's right there, then to just do a little bit more work, a little bit harder to get what God really has for us. So, again, as always, I'm in concert with Brother Nate. Now, we got to make God a priority. We got to run after him like never before and stop just accepting mediocrity when God has abundance for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. And as always, I'd like to thank all the listeners for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure of mine. Please tune in tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Brother Nate will be back tomorrow with his deep dive lesson on the Masons, I believe, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And hopefully we can get Brother Keevan back on the broadcast. I know he still has some work to do on his topic of strongholds. Share this link when you get it for all those who are listening now and those who will be listening to the recording later. Share the link with someone you think may benefit from the information. You might have a family member. You may have a coworker. You may have a close friend who is involved in these organizations and believe that they're doing a great work, but because they are a private organization, they are neglecting, their responsibilities of serving the Lord to their fullest potential. And so I'd just like to say thank you again. May God bless you. May God keep you. For Brother Nate, Reverend Murphy, I'm Brother Manny, and we love you. May God bless you and keep you. Is our prayer. God bless you, brother. Love you, man.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. I love you all too.